You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison, and today I have my boyfriend Clay filling in for Kara because she is on a work trip. So me and Clay are recording in my bedroom right now. We are in Tulum, Mexico, where we live with our dog Peaches, and we have been together for 6.5 years. And so today we're just going to talk about the highs and lows of that whole journey, help catch you guys up to speed on our dating update, because Clay hasn't been on the podcast in like 2 years, maybe. And you were a pretty active part of, came on the podcast a few times, and I used to talk about a relationship way more. Then I kind of kept you guys in the dark for a while. So today we're back with some juicy updates, and I'm very happy to have you on. Thank you for doing this with me.
It's good to be back.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited. We're just sitting on your bed. We're here in beautiful Tulum. What was it? About a month and 8 days that it's been since I moved down here. And it's just a vibe. The pillows are all thrown around the bed. We're just recording and living life right now.
With your transition down to Tulum, candidly, you guys know Clay moved from Omaha, Nebraska, where we're both from, down to here. How are you liking Tulum?
It's been like the biggest change that I've ever gone through, but probably the best change that I've ever gone through. Of like, I never wasn't in Omaha. I lived there my entire life. I grew up there. I went to college outside of the state, but I went back immediately after. Had a couple of different jobs there, but you know, Omaha was just always my home. And I think that put me into a very limited mindset. And the only way that I could get out of that mindset was to, you know, kind of get out of Omaha and go experience the world in a different place. Obviously, you were a big factor that drove me to Tulum rather than somewhere else. But the change has been amazing. The first week was a little bit of a challenge just because it was so new, everything, new environment, new language, new gym, new living situation.
And I have to pause you because I told you guys, but just to make it full picture. So I was living in a one bedroom apartment and I was like, oh, I want to start a new journey with Clay here. And a new unit opened up in my building that was a two bedroom. So I was like, okay, a few weeks before Clay was moving down here, I was like, I'll move into there, get it all set up, make it cute, make it nice. So when Clay moves down here, boom, we're just ready to go in this new apartment together. To start our journey in Tulum from like a fresh living situation, because I didn't want you to feel like you were moving into my old apartment, because we had done that before. And like low key some advice, I think if you and your significant other ever plan on moving in together, move in together in a new place rather than one person moves into someone else's place, because then one person kind of feels like the other person is living on top of them, and then the other person feels like they're intruding on the other person's space, and it's hard to ever really feel like you 50-50 jointly share that together. So I have this nice plan of moving to this two bedroom. Well, then the owner decides that he actually wanted it back. So the day that Clay gets off of his flight, we go to tour another unit, meet with the owner, and the owner like flew into town. We do this meeting and we were like, could we move in the next day? And thankfully it worked out.
Yeah, that was the beautiful thing about it, because we really got to start off together on the same foot in the same place. And any other time when I'd moved in with you, I just never felt like it was quite all ours. It always felt like it was me in your space, even when we tried to make it as equal as possible. So that was the most helpful thing. So even though it was hectic moving everything around right away when I got here, I couldn't have wished for a better way for it to unfold our journey back together here in Tulum.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you're here and I'm glad you're loving it. I think Tulum looks great on you.
Looks great on us.
There you go. Thank you. Well, if you guys are new to Already Friends, pretty much every episode we follow the same format. We do a little catch-up, which is about 15 minutes, share our peaks of the week, say any announcements, and then we get into the topic, which will be highs and lows of our relationship and how we have navigated that to be on the same team and build a future together where we feel very aligned and in sync about. So catching up from when I talked to you guys last week, once again, Clay and I went to movie night on Tuesday, Hotel Panamera. It is becoming my favorite night of the week.
Tuesdays are the new Saturdays.
Tuesdays are the new Saturdays. Like, I wish that they had it like three nights a week. It would probably not be as fun if we were going that often, but genuinely, I'm like get so excited when it's Tuesday now because we can go to the movie night. And if you guys haven't heard about this movie night, Panamera is a beach club hotel right on the ocean, and the big movie screen is outside. So you can hear the ocean, and they choose like older movies or...
No, I swear, they put a particular like film on the films that they do. Like, it looks vintage, it looks grainy, even if it's a newer movie.
Yeah, and they're not, nothing has been like that new. Like, I feel like 2020 and forward.
Yeah.
Like, last week was Burlesque, A Midnight in Paris.
I can't remember the name of the third one.
I know, we told the guy last week, we were like, because we've noticed attendance is low. There's only ever like us and maybe one or two other people.
Three people tops.
Yeah. You're like, please don't stop doing movie night. Like, we are your number one fans. Never cut the program.
If anything, you will always have us at Tuesday movie night.
Count on it. And they have like an old school popcorn maker. Mm-hmm. And we've been getting pizza. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. So we did that on Tuesday. And then Wednesday was just kind of a work day.
Yep.
I also am cutting back on coffee, which has been kind of horrible. I am a big, big coffee fan, but I've just been trying to have less. And I have felt tired this week.
Yeah, I don't know how you're doing it. I'm a caffeine addict and I couldn't. Props to you, you strong woman.
I think harder to give up coffee than alcohol, or like caffeine than alcohol.
Drink it on a daily basis more than you drink alcohol on a daily basis. I think most people would probably say that.
That would be an interesting poll. Like, if you had to give up one, would you be willing to give up caffeine or alcohol for the rest of your life?
I feel like most people would say alcohol. The majority. I think the majority would say alcohol.
I kind of agree.
I would.
Because caffeine, like, that affects work, like your day-to-day life, where alcohol can be, you know, only on particular days.
Yeah, I run on caffeine. I do not run on alcohol.
Yeah, so I've been a little tired this week. I've had more horizontal rest time than I've had in a while, but it actually has felt really nice, and I'm kind of just trying to allow it. It honestly just feels so good that you're here, and now that it's been like a full month since you moved down, we're past like any moving stuff, any setup stuff. We're situated. We have our assistant. We have a good routine with her. We have a good routine now with our own day-to-day schedules, piecing together like work meetings and stuff, gym, the things we like to do for fun, that now I kind of feel like this marathon that I was running like the last year of finding a new home. And finally, like, and I feel like my body is just like wanting to really marinate in that. And so while yes, I'm tired, I also just feel like I crossed a finish line, and it's like a choice of being like, I just want to stop running for a second.
Yeah, just let your body kind of reset, let your system reset, get back to the baseline, just rejuvenate. After you push for a really long time, your body has to kind of have that opportunity to get back to its homeostasis.
Yeah, it feels really good. And what else do we do now?
This week was really...
underwhelming?
Yeah, yeah. It was about as standard of a week as could possibly be. Work days, Tuesday movie night was really like the only different thing.
I know.
We did watch all of 1883. I was really happy that you enjoyed that.
Yeah. I've also mentioned to you guys that I had not had a TV for many years, and now this new apartment has a TV, and I have been allowing Netflix time. Like, you've probably seen me watch more Netflix in the past month than maybe in the entire 6.5 years.
Definitely. I'm all for it, though. I'm a big show watcher myself, so that's healing for me to not feel like if I'm watching something, you're like, I can't believe you're watching something because you're watching something too. So I'm like, cool, we're on the same page with this.
It's funny because we both are sensitive about feeling lazy, but Clay's a personal trainer. So I'm like, I don't know how you think that you're lazy, but we operate different. Like, you go 100% and then you go more 0%. Mm-hmm. And I'm more like 60%, 30%. Like, I don't go as high or low. So I just feel more lazy, like in general, because I don't have that Leo intensity fire that you have. And so I never wanted to be like the TV watcher or take naps or rest, because I was like, I don't want him to think I'm lazy. And then you didn't like to do it either, because you were sensitive about me being like hyper productive.
Yeah, well, it's always been on the opposing ends of the spectrum of like me with physical activity and you with like mental activity, where, yeah, being in the gym and being a CrossFit athlete as well as a coach and doing personal training, like physical fitness was all of my energy expenditure. But then I never did any energy expenditure mentally towards like wanting to at some point have my own business, wanting to find other ways of like earning income. And you were always really great about doing that. And it was just the other end of that spectrum where you allocated more energy to that and then less to the physical. So like both of our wounds were me thinking that you were judging me for not being more mentally productive and you thinking I was judging you for not being more physically productive. And it took us a really long time to get out of that rut and like come to terms with the fact that neither of us are judging the other person.
No, and I think that's going to be a big lesson of today's episode and of our relationship as a whole, is having an ego check, because pretty much any of our issues or misunderstandings or insecurities have just come from our egos. And it's a shame, because I feel like we could have, I don't know. No, I don't regret how our journey unfolded, but we both could have avoided a lot of hurt or things like that if we had been willing to fight our own demons earlier.
Absolutely. We're like really happy where we are now and really happy with the projected outlook of where we now know we want to go. But it took us 5.5, 6 years to get to that point. And I think if we would have been able to check our egos a little bit earlier, we could have been there at year 2.5,
yeah,
3, which is fine. Everybody's on their own journey, but it's hard to not look back and think that you could have done something different earlier.
Yeah, you and I are both very strong-willed.
Very much perfectionists to, yeah, our own detriment.
Yeah, but we're learning how to use it as a tool instead of a hindrance. And that is why we're now allowing TV and rest time. And actually, no, last Sunday we had a cute pool day.
Yeah.
I got into our apartment pool for the first time. And this was stemmed from us taking Peaches for a walk. And she was really hot. And I was like, I just want to put Peaches in the pool. I didn't want to just like throw her into the pool. So I was like, I'll get in. And I know you love to get in because you always jump in after your runs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice. And then I went for another swim. Like, was that yesterday or the day before?
2 days ago. Yeah.
I like it. It feels really good. I understand why people get in there.
I was happy that it was only you that went, because if there's one thing that I got to say about Peaches, it's she is one of the cutest little puppers of all time, except when she is wet. She's not cute when she's wet.
It's a different kind of cute. Yeah. Yeah, the poodles, I think, were meant to keep their curls, but that was fun. And we did a taco bar type of thing, mm-hmm, put it on a tray, had it outside by the pool, worked on our laptops a little bit, planning some fun things for the upcoming year. And then, yeah, just worked the rest of the week. And here we are, it's Saturday.
Yep.
I had a nice walk this morning. You went to the gym. We met up for smoothies.
I think it's really just been about trying to live slower while still being productive, feeling good about it, but just trying to get out of the go, 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 like fight or flight response, which I know is what you came down here for. And it's a lot easier to do by yourself when you add a significant other into the mix that then you have to try and do it together. It's a new challenge and obstacle to try and figure out. And so I think that it's been just navigating that of trying to figure out how we can do all the things that we know that we want to do, feel like we're staying productive, get the work done that we know that we need to and want to get done, but also feel like we can relax and have fun and do the enjoyable things that we also want to do. And the biggest part of that is like not feeling guilty about being slower.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like previously when we lived in Omaha, I was so used to just working all day, every day, basically, that I would let things take longer than maybe they needed to, or I would just keep doing extra stuff because I was so used to that culture, to where now I'm like, I want to get my work done so I can do anything besides work now. Like, work used to bring me so much joy, and now it brings me enough joy to continue doing it. But I'm like, no, I would way rather be tanning on the roof, going and getting smoothies, going to a yoga class, going to the beach, than typing on my computer in my bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. I think we'll touch more on that later on in the episode, but that's been a huge goal of yours for a long time. You've always enjoyed to work, but because you felt the need that you had to without the support from me on a full, you know, spectrum. And I've grown into that role a lot more than I wasn't in our first years together. So that makes me happy to be able to watch you fall into that more feminine energy and to get to enjoy those things without feeling guilty about not being productive. Because I know that that's a wound that I had caused you of not showing you that full, you know, financial support, emotional support that a partner really should in a relationship. And through changing my behavior, through acting in new ways and really stepping into that role and that responsibility in order to give you that beautiful benefit of being able to release some of that masculine and embrace more of that feminine, it's been an enjoyable thing for me to get to witness for you.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate it because I am enjoying it. And we can move into peaks because this ties into that. And earlier this week, it was Tuesday afternoon, I was feeling kind of melancholy, not sad, but just like didn't really know what to do with myself that afternoon. We were having lunch and Clay was like, well, what self-care activity would make you the happiest right now? And I was like, I mean, never upset about a massage because they're my favorite. And then he just booked one and was like, okay, 3 o'clock, there you go. And that was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad that was your peak of the week. That's exciting.
It was great. What was yours?
Mine. Well, some of you may know this, some of you may not. I am an avid fitness enthusiast, but I am just as avid of a food enthusiast. I have a insatiable hunger. And Allison and I were having a 1883 night. This is literally just last night. Our favorite place here, well, I don't know about hers, but my favorite place for sure, it's a place called Toto Pita, and they have amazing Mediterranean food. Pitas are so fantastic. And so I got myself two, and I got her one, and obviously I ate my two, and then she had fallen asleep, and I was definitely sitting there still up watching, and I was like, I don't think that pita's gonna, I don't think that it lasts. We don't have a microwave, so we can't heat it up. I was like, yeah, it's not gonna be good tomorrow. I should eat that. And my peak of the week was most definitely that third pita that I got to eat last night.
Well, it's funny because this morning after we got back from smoothies, I was like laying on my yoga mat and he was like gonna make like a proper lunch. And I was like, hey, you can eat my pita from last night. And he was like, oh, I already did. And I was like, oh, for breakfast? And you were like,
no, that was last night. Oh. That's me.
Hey, I'm so glad that
peak of the week.
If I don't feel like finishing my food, I can always count on you. It's a great team.
You never, never have to worry about feeling bad about leaving food on a plate.
And it always works good when we're somewhere, because I've started eating meat again a little bit, but like not all the time. Yeah. And sometimes places, like it's the same price if you like say you have a pasta or a salad and they just put the chicken or shrimp on it anyway. And he's always like, well, don't say no. Just put it on the side. I will always eat it.
Give me that. Give me that extra protein.
Yeah, I know, I know. So, yeah. And now we should read Listener Speaks of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, this one from Penn says, listening to the spirituality episode of Already Friends on my drive to work on Monday. Wow, thank you. I'm so glad that you enjoyed that episode.
From Jillian, I started selling my travel photos and got a few orders. That is wicked. I love seeing you do your own thing and start your little side business. And I am starting my own business myself. So I resonate with that. I love that. Keep on selling those photos.
And Jaden said, finally feeling touched by joy again after a darker time in my life. Aw, sending you the biggest hug. And I'm so glad that you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
And Annie said, going on my first cruise. I've never been on a cruise before, but I would love to. That's exciting. Is it a tropical cruise or is it like one of those cruises that goes through Antarctica? Alice and I were talking about that the other day. And we both thought that would be cool to go on a cold water cruise.
As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday at Already Friends Podcast. And before we get into the episode, a few quick announcements. Kara would usually be here. Like I said, she's on a work trip. Next week, she'll be doing her own episode without me. And then her and I will reconvene the last Wednesday of the month for WWYBD, which is our Q&A episodes. It stands for What Would Your Bestie Do? So you guys send in questions. We do our best to honestly answer. And I also just wanted to congratulate Clay on launching his personal training business. Website is live. conqueryourmindtraining.com. How are you feeling about it?
It feels good to finally get something out there for people to go and check out. I do virtual training sessions. I do custom programming for people to just follow on their own. And I do some nutrition coaching. So if you or anybody that you know is interested, I don't like to be a salesman, but I love to help people in their fitness journey because I think it's a daunting task to try and tackle on your own, especially if you're new into the world of exercise and fitness. So I love to meet people where they're at. I love to work with people. And it's really one of my biggest passions in life. So it feels great to finally be doing it for myself rather than for somebody else. It's never a spot that I thought I would be at in my life. And you, Allison, have been one of the most pivotal factors that's allowed me to get to this point. So thank you, because if you go check out the website, I will take 2% credit for it. Allison built the entire thing for me because she's a wizard.
Well, thank you. And it was teamwork. We had a lot of power sessions to bring your vision to life, and I love doing that. So thank you for allowing me to do it. And you are a great coach. Clay has obviously helped work with me in person, but even just writing the programming, and you work with so many different types of clients, from your grandma, who is 80.
Yep, I've got Grandma Seuss, who's 89 years old. I have two other clients who are in their upper 70s. I have my mom that I trained back from, she was in the ICU, so pretty much square one, ground zero, after a neural invasive virus. I had another client that had a kidney transplant, so pretty much started from ground zero for him. Yeah, all across the board, some teenagers and middle schoolers that were starting their sport-specific training journey. I like to be diverse with the people that I coach because I think fitness is for everybody. And it doesn't matter what you enjoy to do. It doesn't matter how often you enjoy to do it. I think it's something that every human being can implement into their lives. And it just is about finding the way to do that that resonates the most with you.
Yeah. And I think you do a great job of meeting people where they're at. Like, I'm picky about what I want to do. And you've always been very understanding about writing programming for me that is not too overwhelming, because I'm like, I like to do this, but not this. And if you make the programming too complicated with your coaching words that I don't understand, then I'm just overwhelmed and I'm not going to do it. So I just need it very simple. And yeah, you've done a great job. So if you guys want to work with Clay, I'll link his website in the show notes. Like we said, he does one-on-one virtual personal training. He just jumps on a video call, walks you through your workout, and then he also does the custom programming where he can either write you one workout a week, two, three, four, five, or help you with nutrition stuff. And again, all that information is on the website. And now we can get into our topic.
I am excited because it's our journey It's the culmination of what's allowed us to be where we are now, which I am incredibly grateful and thankful for. And it hasn't been the easiest journey in the world. I don't think any relationship is, at least the ones that are worth having aren't, but I wouldn't change any of it because it's allowed us to be where we are right now. So I'm just excited to kind of share our story. And I don't think a lot of people know what's transpired over the last year and a half. I know that I was kind of been on the podcast a couple of times. I think on social media, I had a pretty large presence for you. So everybody that follows you is probably just wondering what the heck happened to Clay. Which is fine. And I think it's just, it'll be exciting for me to share my truth that I own a lot of and hold it pretty deep to my soul of what I've done wrong and how I've wanted to be better. And how I'm working to make that a constant change in my life.
Same. Likewise. And I love connecting with you guys here on the podcast. And it's been hard to not be fully transparent since, of course, Clay and our relationship has been a huge part of my life for so long. But I felt like I didn't want to talk about things too in depth without you because I really wanted both of our point of views to be heard. And share that together when we felt ready to.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. Quick recap on our relationship. Mm-hmm. We started dating 2018. Clay was finishing college. It was his last year, and I am a year older, so I had already graduated.
Yep.
We were in a school in South Dakota. I was working, starting freelancing stuff in Omaha. So we did distance for that first year. You were playing D1 football. Then you did your accounting internship. After you got done with that, you moved into my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Then we shared that for a couple of months. Then we were like, oh, we're going to go backpack South America for like a year. Then the pandemic happened. So we came back to Omaha, quickly signed the lease in Omaha that became the New Wave space where it was New Wave in the front, our apartment in the back for many years. We lived there together. And even though that was quite a sad ending of having to get kicked out of there because of the bar below, we did like foster a lot of our relationship in that space. And I am thankful for like the times that we had there.
Yeah, absolutely. My perspective of like that space for me was I was super lost during that time and very comfortable, very stuck in my ways. But when I look back on it, like, that was a very comforting space. I get like warm feelings when I think about our cozy nights in the living room, watching TV on the couch, like being out in that sunroom in the back, having your little work just walking through the door. Like, it was a cool space. And I think it did its job for us.
And I will say, during that time, I, of course, was not perfect because I was starting New Wave and I was starting the podcast. And as I kind of said at the beginning, I was very work focused. And when we first started dating, I kind of had this expectation that around the 3-year mark, we would get engaged and then maybe married by like 5 years. So when that 3-year mark came and went, I was like, okay, what do I need to do to like prove myself to this guy, like to get him serious? And I was giving both of us a lot of grace from the pandemic because I feel like all of us can kind of attest that time got weird during that. And you also changed from accounting into like the coaching realm. So I'm like, okay, he's figuring himself out. But I was like, went on my own, like the start of my healing journey, stopped drinking alcohol, started doing 75 hard, got into meditation, started doing mushrooms, was really trying to better myself. And I feel like that is where we maybe started to grow apart a little bit because I like went more down that path and you can share your side.
I just kind of stayed where I was, you know, I totally agree. When you went on your alcohol sobriety journey, which you made it 2 years or 3 years?
It was like 2 years, 10 months or something.
Yeah. When you started that, that's when like your journey really began. And I kick myself to this day for not like allowing myself to be inspired by that and starting my journey there with you. But I just didn't. I stayed in my old ways, continuing to smoke weed, continuing to not have a forward thinking mindset. You know, you and I have talked about it now where like I always knew that you were the one that I like wanted to marry. But I think I just allowed myself to be empty of feeling of that, you know, like I said those words, but those words didn't have like the authentic intention in my soul behind them because I was so lost. Like, I mean, in those years, I do think that I can look back and just say, like, I don't know who I was. I don't know who Clay was in that time. And I was grateful to have you, but like on a very deep soul level, like we didn't really grow together. We grew in our own ways. But since I was just in that like lost phase, it kind of made it really hard to grow together. And that's what really, you know, in my mind started that growing apart was we became so ingrained in like being able to grow in our own ways. And obviously it was like it's a two-way street, but you know, I own a huge percentage of that for just not stepping into my own power as a man and as my own personal being to like recognize that it's my responsibility to figure out who I am and what I want and where I want to go. And everybody's on their own journey and their healing process. And I just wasn't taking any steps forward during that time.
Well, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in that time of not knowing, because physical activity has always been such a core part of who you are and where your confidence came from as a lifelong athlete, college football player, that then when you made that transition from accounting into a world where you then got to spend time in the gym, got to coach, then that was like you like dug in all the way. And so when you were not feeling confident in other areas of life, being able to pick up extra coaching hours and do the CrossFit competitions and really lean into that community there then gave you the confidence that wasn't coming from other areas of your life. So you like dug in even more.
Yeah, I definitely recognize it as just another coping mechanism now, a healthier coping mechanism. But all of my behaviors were coping mechanisms, from smoking weed at the end of the day so I didn't have to go inward and think about what I wanted with our future and where we wanted to live and if we wanted kids, if we were going to get married, how was I going to start saving to buy a ring, the financial responsibility that I wasn't taking on, the binge eating and watching Netflix, because that was a byproduct of smoking as well. But when I started to cut smoking weed down, I noticed that that was still a behavior that lasted. So that was another thing, because like I was just trying to grasp at all these things and activities to do that weren't being introspective. Everything was going outward. I was trying to fill a void from outward activities. And like the biggest one was honestly physical exercise. Training, coaching, being at the gym. That was what took most of my time during the day. And it took me a long time to realize that like that was a coping mechanism in and of itself, healthier than smoking weed and drinking and eating shitty food and watching endless hours of Netflix, but a coping mechanism nonetheless. So it just took me a long time to get to the realization that what I was doing was running from myself.
And in my world, that was travel, because if I could go and take a trip, then I didn't have to confront like our future or wonder what our next steps were going to be. And to me, I've always loved travel in the same way you've always loved physical activity. And travel was always there for me. Like there was always another trip I could take that I could save for, that I could plan around, that I could get inspired by. And as you're saying, it was a healthier coping mechanism, but a coping mechanism nonetheless, to where same, once I stopped drinking, it was like, okay, now I'm a little bit bored. And travel gave me that spark still where I could, you know, feel really excited planning the trip, going on the trip. And then that would last for a little while after until I started planning the next one. So I think to kind of summarize this part of it, as you said in the beginning, it's not like we were both still working on ourselves, but we weren't working on our relationship that much. Like we were both doing our own things to try to be better, but there started to be like a little bit of a disconnect between us where our schedules were so different. You were getting to the gym at 4:30 in the morning. Therefore, you had to go to bed at what?
7:30 p.m.
And that was really hard for me because usually I'm up till like midnight. And I would, you know, go to a yoga class in the evening or some sort of workout class. And then you would be sleeping. Mm-hmm. And so we were really getting like not even an hour together a day. And then on the weekends, if you had a competition or I was working the shop, like there really wasn't a lot of time together for.
Yeah, we were giving the best versions of ourselves to everybody else. and saving the last, you know, quote unquote, worst versions of ourselves for each other. And we always did a really good job about giving each other grace of being like, no, I want you to go travel. Like, if I can't go on a trip, I want you to still take that trip because I know it's going to bring you excitement. And you're like, if you want to go on that CrossFit competition the one weekend that I don't work the shop, like, I want you to do that because I know that you love CrossFit. We never like gave each other ultimatums of how we wanted, you know, the other person to change.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere? I know I have, and what I've learned is that a lot of these issues are tied to hormonal imbalances. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, today's sponsor. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking this quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some personalized insights into what might be happening with my hormones and how I can feel better. One of the recommendations I got was taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And it's an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, but it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which is a huge troublemaker that can contribute to weight gain, fatigue, and many other things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It's become such an essential part of many women's daily routines with over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight and 77% saw an improved mood, while 100% said they felt like themselves again. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone harmony quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code Already Friends at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Already Friends for 15% off today.
Feel like you're stuck in career limbo? Clock in, clock out, repeat. No growth, no new opportunities. It's time to break out and break into tech. With CBT Nuggets, you can start building the IT skills that companies are hiring for right now. We make training fast, simple, and practical. From networking to cybersecurity, you'll get short, easy-to-watch videos and hands-on virtual labs so you can build real-world skills without expensive gear or complicated setups. For just $59 a month, you get unlimited access to our full training library. That includes certifications, skill-based learning, and practice exams, a $100 value included free. Learn anytime, anywhere, and get job-ready on your terms. Thousands have used CBT Nuggets to launch new careers, and you can too. Right now, CBT Nuggets is offering a free trial. Easily find the training you need and test it out with no commitment. Start your 7-day free trial now at cbtnuggets.com. Don't wait. A better job is just a few clicks away.
But ultimately, like, that's what I think, looking back, we wish, like, that's what we would have done, was had that hard conversation with each other.
About that we were missing each other. Like, yeah. This is what I meant at the beginning, how we're both very stubborn and we're like, I'm okay, I'm so independent. Like, I'm not gonna admit that I, like, miss you and need you. Like, we both were really, yeah, giving each other a lot of grace. Like, don't worry, you do your own thing. Like, I'm cool. I got it. Don't worry about me. And then in time, we both were like, wait, I kind of wish you had worried about me.
Yeah. So that's where the distance started to come in. And then I got myself into like just some, not even bad looking back on it now, but some credit card debt. And because of that, I was really stressed out financially. I've never been good with having a strong financial picture for myself. I've always been like an impulsive spender, never done a good job saving, where you've been on the opposite. So like that was a big thing that you needed from me that I never gave you.
And quick pause, I think that that came a lot from the difference in our college and high school experiences to, again, where you were being an athlete and then your college tuition was covered by being an athlete. It changed like your perspective of like what money and earning money really meant when it was like, yeah, you were paying with your time and doing something you loved, but it was hard to see like the direct correlate of like to where when I would go to work and like get handed a paycheck, it's like, oh, this is exactly what I made. This is how many hours I worked, or I did this event and made this much. So by the time that we were both out of college, I had already been working for 10 years and you had only really had like odd jobs in the summer because your job was being an athlete.
Definitely.
So I do want to give you like not a pass on that, but like just perspective that we just had a different background and relationship to working by the time we reached 24 years old.
Yeah. But then from, you know, 24 to 27, 3 years is more than enough time to figure out the difference of like, oh, now I'm working for receiving that paycheck. You know, like I had job at QA and I had job at an accounting firm. So thank you for the grace. But
as we're like, don't give each other grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I needed that hard nose,
you know. So when I got into like, I think it was like $4,000 of credit card debt, and I was so stressed out and burdened by it, which seems just so ridiculous to me now. I moved back in with my parents, which that looking back is like the one decision that I was like, I can't believe that you chose to do that. And it was really, really, really hard on you because I left you at 1406, where it was a split residential and commercial lease. You had New Wave there. You had our apartment on the backside, and you were incredibly graceful, like allowing me to do that, to go home with the intention of saving money. And it was like 3 months that we were going to do it. But I still just left you there hanging on to that lease by yourself and having to pay for it by yourself, which is like, if you love somebody and they're your significant other, like, I don't know who in their right mind does that to the person that they care about more than anybody else in the world. So I still to this day, like, hold so much resentment towards myself for making that decision. But it's also in the past, so I know that I can't change it. And then at the end of that 3 months, you know, I had effectively gotten that credit card paid off and was ready to move back in. And then my mom got sick. And that was just an extension of it. So I then also made the decision to stay out at my parents' for my dad, who was there. But my mom got like really, really, really sick with a rare form of neuroinvasive West Nile. And so she was in the hospital for a long time. And I wanted to be there to support my dad. And it, once again, that might sound beautiful to anybody listening, but it, on the other side of that same coin, I abandoned, you know, the love of my life to continue to pay for this $2,000 plus a month apartment as she was having people rent out the spare bedroom in order to help pay for rent as she was struggling to keep her business running on the other side while also trying to maintain a distance and long distance, short distance relationship. Like, we lived in the same city, but we were doing a distance relationship. And it was just like this really weird taboo thing that like was a situation that I had created and perpetuated. And that went on for 4 months. So the 3 month plan turned into like 7-8 months.
It was mostly hard when I was by myself down at the apartment because I sold my car as well to help with the situation. And then when you moved out to your parents' house, you had your car, and then I didn't have a car anymore. So I was like trying to run two businesses and pay our rent and then like come see you to support you and support your mom, but not having a car. So I'm like trying to Uber or like take the bus out. Like, it was just complicated. So there were like logistical, emotional blocks, I would say, that were also making it hard for us to be there for each other, because of course I wanted you to be there for your family. So I wasn't trying to burden you with like, hey, come move back in. And so prior to that, we still had this trip to Colombia for Christmas booked with my mom, my sister, me and you. And so we still went. and it was a great trip.
Yeah, like, I remember having a lot of fun on that trip.
We look back, total side note, I was so ugly, guys. Like, this goes to show.
We both were. Don't just call yourself out on that. We look at pictures and we're like, those are not us. That is not us in those photos that we look at.
It's crazy because that was kind of like the bottom of our well-being.
Yeah.
And of course, winter in the Midwest is not that good for a lot of people's mental health. I love the sun. So we were like pale. We were looking tired. We were looking beat down. Like there was this one particular selfie that we took on this like horseback riding tour. And we like keep looking at it compared to how we look now. We're like tan and happy and like full of life. And we're like, what the fuck? That was a year ago. Like that feels like 5 years ago when I look at that photo of those people.
Yeah, you can just tell that the energy is not there.
It's crazy. So I also hope that that can maybe give hope to anyone, whether you're just even in a hard time with yourself or someone you love is going through a hard time, that like so much can change in a short amount of time. But I love this quote. It's, you have to let yourself hit rock bottom. So often you are avoiding hitting rock bottom. So all that happens is rock bottom gets deeper and you're like floating right above your rock bottom, just digging your hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And then getting out of it, now you have more to climb up because you prolonged it so much. And I feel like that's what happened to us. We like kept pushing it off, pushing it off, pushing it off for like those 7 months. And then by the time after Colombia, I was like, I think we need to take a break, because while Colombia was really fun, it felt like a fever dream. This wasn't our real life. We were like on a trip and you are still living at your parents. We still don't have a plan for the future. And like, I turned 30 this year. I'm ready for some commitment of some kind. Mm-hmm. Are we moving out? Our lease is going to expire soon. Like, what's going to happen here? And we both were like, IDK. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So we decided on this 3-month no contact break. And you can take the mic now.
Yeah. It was a hard decision to do that, but we both did it like knowing that it was necessary for both of us. So it was a very mutually understood decision. Neither of us felt like the other person wanted, like was forcing it onto the other. It was like a lot of conversations back and forth of deciding, like, is this right for us? Is this not right for us? And being that we both were sitting there like, I don't know. I don't want it to be the thing that happens, but I also feel like it is the thing that needs to happen. And I think when we both said like, well, being the fact that we both are saying, I don't know, I think that that's a sign that it needs to happen.
Because we had kind of realized that we were just in this non-committal area where it allowed us to have the best of both worlds. It was like, oh, I have a significant other, so I'm not alone. And we were in our own worlds, so we weren't confronting this inevitable future that we need to figure out by not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the break was at least like going to give us clarity, because it was like, no more wishy-washy, no more playing in the dangle, like decide one way or another. And I think that we both just realized we needed to actually sit down and like figure out our own half and then come back together with either like, are we going to stay together or are we not? And I'm really proud of us, because I feel like we both were like accepting that that meant that maybe we wouldn't end up together.
I definitely went into it saying like, you need to look at these 3 months as if like Allison's gone and it's up to you to not have that dependence on somebody else anymore. It's like, what do you actually want? If you didn't have anybody else that you were going to be with, like, what do you want your life to be like? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And that was like a very powerful thing for me, that flipped the script in terms of my perception. That was like very necessary for me to kind of kickstart my gears and to step out of that adolescence, out of that, you know, naivety, out of that youthful blindness, and step into that, you know, more mature, more grown up, like, let's start moving forward with our life. And it really gave me the clarity to like start that process on my own and to think about like what I wanted to do. And I did come to the terms of like, I would love to travel. I would love to do online coaching. I was feeling really burnt out from so many hours on the gym floor and working with clients in person, even though it's what I love to do. Like, I could just feel my life force being drained from me. And then digging into all of my coping mechanisms, like figured I had to smoke weed in order to like rebound myself for the next day of being drained again. But I did say that I wanted to go travel. Like, I would love to do an online coaching business where I could go wherever I wanted to go. And then when I sat there and thought about it, I was like, but I really want to do that with Allison, you know? And this is, of course, this is over, you know, a month or two for me. But it gave me the clarity and the insight to then start to think about, like, what would life be like for you without Allison? Well, I want to do this. Well, if you want to do this, like, how does that seem like doing it by yourself? And I was like, I mean, not quite as fun for me to do that. And I was like, whoa, to feel like you doing that with Allison. And it was like a fire, you know, of like, well, yeah, obviously I would much rather do that with her by my side, because I know that that's what you've always wanted to do as well. But it took the separation for me to realize that I also wanted to do that for me, not wanting to do that for you, because I knew that it's what you wanted to do. It's like, oh, I want to do this too. Cool. It's like, well, why wouldn't we do it together if it's something that we both want to do? So that was kind of the clarity that I was able to get that was literally only possible from us taking that definitive break and taking it in a way that we had to say we might not come back together after this.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I wouldn't have moved out of Omaha if we hadn't taken that break, because I felt like the chain of still being connected to you and us and our history there and our families, like, I was just fearful to make that leap because of like letting people down or feeling like I was forcing you to come or whatever. And then once we were on a break, I was like, I'm only responsible for myself and my own happiness. So like, I'm going to go and whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was originally going to move to Medellin, Colombia. So that's where I went first. Like when we were on this 3-month break, got a temporary apartment there, liked it, had my gym membership, was all on board. But then it was going to be really complicated to bring Peaches there. And anytime I wanted to go back and forth, I was going to have to go through the USDA and like do this whole thing with the vet. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's really complicated. I still want to come back and forth occasionally, or I want to travel with Peaches. And so I was just hanging out in Tulum with in the interim to decide, well, if it's not going to be Colombia, where's it going to be? Or am I going to commit to that with Peaches? And if I travel, I just won't bring her, I guess. And like my stuff was still in Medellin and I was just hanging out in Tulum and I was like, damn, I've always really liked it here. And I just didn't get on my return flight home. I remember it was the day that I was supposed to go back and I packed up at the hotel, was at the on the street waiting for a taxi. And then I was just like, no, I'm not going. And so I just stayed here and then decided to let it love me more and gave that love back to Tulum in return. And I've pretty much been here since. I took a couple other trips, went up to Canada, went back to Colombia to get my stuff, went to Omaha a couple times, but more or less since last May.
It's been you saying, like, Tulum's going to be my home.
Yeah. And it's just easier to go back and forth from here to Omaha and same time zone half the year, since we've learned now that Mexico doesn't honor daylight saving. Yeah. They don't do it. And so yeah, I just have really liked it here. And you came down for the first time in January. And
well, this was after our 3 months that we had taken a no contact break. In that 3 months, I made the decision, like, no, I really want to be with this girl. I need to grow up. I need to make some changes. I see where I have not met the standard that she needs for me. And I am committing myself to make those changes. And like, I want to make this work with her. And I did. It was like, okay, if we're going to do that, it's like, you move back to Omaha or I move down there. And you're like, I have set my, like, Tulum is going to be my home. So I was like, okay, well, let me come down and visit. And we had a lot of back and forth conversation, you know, in terms of how that might work. But at the point of these conversations, it was like starting to navigate the framework of how we would make us work again.
And you wait, pause, because you have been very honest and humble of what you haven't been great at. And during this, oh, actually, we're still fine because mm-hmm. It's just nice. The power just went out, but we're recording on our phone, so it didn't matter. This is a very Tulum thing. But I was like, okay, if we are maybe not going to have a future together, I guess I will start talking to other people. And I say that because it actually helped me appreciate you even more. Like, I'm sure that's hard to hear, and I wasn't perfect in that. But in the way that then us not being together, you were able to figure out like what you wanted to do for yourself, and like that motivated you. It also allowed me to recognize like the good traits that you have that are not changeable on someone. Like, you've always just been so loving, so patient. You do so many nice things for me. And there's that quote that's like, to be loved is to be seen. Like, you definitely see me, and I think I see you in insane ways. Like, even yesterday when Clay was at Toto Pita, he had been gone at the gym for a while, and I was like, 100% he's getting Toto Pita. So I like checked his location and like sent him a screenshot.
Peak of the week.
I was like, what did I say? And I was like, I knew you were at Toto Pita, but I'm guessing you had second thoughts and were maybe considering Maita Mamita, but ultimately still decided on Toto Pita. And you were like, why do you know me so well?
Yeah, literally, I was leaving the gym and I thought, maybe I'll get Maita Mamita tonight. And I was like, no, that's too far to drive. I'll just get Toto Pita. And I was like, are you psychic?
And we do stuff like that with each other all the time.
Yes.
Like, you know what I need, and you're always doing sweet things. Like, this man literally makes every meal for me. It's not good when I cook. We've just accepted Clay as the chef in the house. Like, if Peaches is starting to get, what do you call it, antsy, like right before we started recording, he's like, I'm gonna take her for a walk. Like, you have become very good at being proactive to things and not like waiting until there's a problem or not waiting until I ask for something, of just like reading the scene and then doing it.
Yeah.
And of course, you and I have a comfortability with each other after 6.5 years. But even in seeing other people, it was just like, like no one is Clay, you know? And I was still accepting that maybe that we wouldn't have a future together. So I was like trying to be okay with it. But I was still like, man, I really miss this guy. And so when you came down in January and we were like, are we in or are we out? Like, we gotta fully decide one way or the other with each other, like, what's gonna happen here? We both were like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Are you in? And then you made the steps.
I want to say that I hope nobody hears that and like tries to villainize it of you when you decided that you would like want to try and see other people. Because one thing that I appreciate so much about how you navigated that was, we've always said, like, between the two of us, we've always been so open with each other doing whatever they want to do necessarily. But like, being unfaithful was always the thing that we were both kind of like, no, that's the one thing that we would like actually break up about. And you knew how like much that would, not intentionally try and hurt me, but you knew how much that would hurt me hearing you say that you were going to see other people, and you weren't afraid to say it anyway. And that's part A, that I was like, I appreciate that so much, of you not allowing being scared to deter you from doing it, because you could have just started seeing other people and not told me, and then it would have like hurt a lot worse. So I always appreciated your honesty of coming out and just being forthright. And what that allowed me to do was like take the power. Like, okay, she's told me the situation. Now I have the ability to choose how much this relationship with her means to me. I can choose that it doesn't mean enough for me to make the changes that I know I need to make in my life in order to make it work with us. Or I can say, no, she's worth it. Like, I know the full scope of the situation now, and I know what I need to do. And so it's time to do it. And so it felt like very great for me to have that power to make that choice. And that power only came from you being open, honest, and authentic with how you felt in the situation. So I had that feeling coming down in January. And yeah, we had a lot of hard conversations on that trip. And
That was a testing week.
Yeah.
And
Tulum did its Tulum thing. Yeah.
If you guys have not heard about Tulum, she will basically poke at all of your wounds. I think people come here because they like want some sort of therapy, or they want to have an awakening, but then they don't realize how intense it's going to be. And I'm laughing because I went through the trenches of it. But every time someone moves here or visits and they have this experience, I'm like, Tulum did the Tulum thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, stuff still comes up for us all the time. And there's like endless tests here. But now it's like a way of life here that I've like accepted it. And I am open to all of those challenges. And you guys will hear more of them at some point in time. But like, it is just crazy how the energy here operates.
Mm-hmm.
and how quickly things move. Like, we keep saying, like, no, you've been here for a year. Like, you haven't been here for a month. Like, I do not believe that. So much has happened in 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
Five.
That I'm like, there is no way. I don't know. It just feels like something is different here about that. And so that week that you came down in January also felt like a month from how much we worked through. Like, we really were on our own therapy session going through everything from the past year, because we took time off from work. We were like, our intention is to move through these things.
Yeah.
And we did it.
I came down on that trip and I told myself, like, you are not going on vacation. Like, I'm going down to Tulum to see what it would be like to live in Tulum. Like, I want this 8 days to be, what would it be like for Allison and I to do co-working together out of the apartment? What would our day-to-day look like in terms of, like, going to cafes and working there? And what are our activities of fun mixed with work like? And it was like a really good experiment, and it forced us to have those hard conversations. And I think it was day three, like the first night, we argued about the moped and, like, it blew up, and we're like, clearly it's not the moped that's, like, causing this argument. So we were like, we had to dig into layers. And the first one was, like, financial. As I said, I've never been good with, like, my finances, and you've never been able to feel, like, strength and trust in me supporting us, because, like, I haven't. But you guys can hear it from me that, like, I just spent all my money on weed and not forward thinking. I never even had a savings account. It was fucking ridiculous.
I have to say the example, though, because I feel like all of us can look at these surface level interactions or experiences in our life and then realize that it is something deeper. So basically, Clay was driving the moped and I was just, like, not trusting him to drive the moped because I felt like you were going to crash and you were kind of being, like, wobbly. And I was like, of course, this is the most, like, metaphorical visual of what's happening in our relationship, where I'm like, I don't trust you. I don't feel like if you crash that, like, you can pay for it, or, like, that's a good use of your money.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know you'll end up paying for it, but I'm like, I just want you to not crash. Like, I just want you to be careful, and, like, I want you to take care of me. And it was just so funny how simple,
yeah,
like, you steering the moped and us, like, almost getting in an accident or, like, not being cautious was actually, like, uprooted this entire thing that had been going on internally for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
For years.
Well, we could have totally left it at that. Like, we got home and, like, I was, like, actually mad. So I was like, I'm driving the moat. Like, what do you mean I'm driving the moat? Like, it was aggressive. And we, like, took space away from each other. And then we came back and we were just like, we didn't let the conversation stop there. And I think that's a huge, like, learning point for people that might be feeling like on rocky waters, is, like, go deeper into it. Like, I sat there and I was just like, yeah, that, like, really annoyed me. That really aggravated me. And you let me, like, get that off of my chest, the anger that I was feeling. And then you responded with being open and honest of what that situation metaphorically represented for you. And then when you said that, I was like, fuck, yeah, you've never gotten that from me. And, like, you deserve that from me. Like, I deserve to give that to myself. And you, as my partner, definitely deserve to get that from me as the male in the relationship. Like, that is my responsibility to be a supportive figure. And yeah, that gave me then the opportunity to be like, yep, you're right. I'm making a commitment to be like, you'll see a change of me in that. And that was, like, step one. And then I don't remember what the other argument was, but we kept going deeper and deeper each night.
It was at the coffee shop when your knee hit the table. And I would say I'm, like, more of an introvert and more quiet. And you're more charismatic, energetic, louder, more of an extrovert. And I would get annoyed when you weren't being self-aware, because I'm like, you don't realize how big of a person you are. Like, you are 6'1", you are jacked. You just take up a lot of energetic space when you enter a room. And I don't think you realize, like, how powerful your energy is. And so I'm like, you plus volume is really loud. And I was like, I love this about you, but sometimes we have to dial it down. And there are situations where, instead of coming across as charismatic, it can come across as, like, rude or, like, impolite to other people, because not everyone wants to be a part of our lives and conversations. Like, there's nothing worse than going to have your own experience and there's this other group or person there that's, like, being loud or whatever. And so you like hit the table with your knee or something. And I think I said nothing but stared at you with this death glare that was so mean. Cause I was like, I have nothing nice to say. And that is like, then we talked about it where you were like, I don't like when you do that. Like, I can't you just be nicer in the way that you like speak to me about those things and not have as harsh of a tone or like say it, but don't be so mean about it. And so then that was for both ways where I'm like, yeah, well, if like you would be self-aware, I wouldn't have to be mean. Mm-hmm. And then it was like back and forth.
Yeah. But once again, it came from that conversation of I could have just shut down how I used to when I was like, had not been as far on my healing journey. And I would have just been like, oh, she's mad at me for such a small thing of hitting the table. Like, great. That's super nice of her. Like, I'm just going to be mad now. And I guess we're not going to talk the rest of the day. Like, that was an old response mechanism. And then this time it was just like, I can sense that that just made you so upset. And I want to ask why. And it started the dialogue. And then you had like made your comment back to me of like, you're just not aware sometimes. And I was like, you're right. You know, that gave me the chance to be like, I didn't understand it at first. And then you were like, think of if you were in a nice quiet setting and you're just trying to enjoy your cup of coffee. It's your only 5 minutes of the day that you have to yourself. And somebody's over there yelling at the end of the table, like your experience is ruined. And I was like, okay, yeah, I see that. I never thought of it from that perspective. So it gave me the ability to find that growth within myself of like, I'm not the only person in this environment. And I have to understand that my actions influence other people, even if they're not directly being influenced by it. Like energetically, I can influence others.
And I was like, they had really cute handmade mugs or something. And I was like, imagine this was a really small coffee shop, like literally the size of a bedroom. And I was like, what if this owner like had these coffee mugs like specially made for this place, because I had had coffee mugs made for our kitchen. I was like, they were like $48 per mug. And then we knock it over and break it. And I'm like, imagine the love and care that went into this mug. And then she's probably like, no, don't worry. And then we like make this whole scene. And I know that's me like tripping, but just thinking of like the domino effect or the cause and effect that like, because we all can be selfish and in our own world, that we don't always think about the ripple effect that our actions have. And I was proud of you for like being willing to then receive that with the intention to be more aware. And you have been so much more aware. And like I said, I think there's a time and a place. Like, of course, when you're at the gym, like go hard, do your thing. It's just knowing when is the right time to show different sides of ourselves. And I have on the flip side tried to be better about like, if I'm not in the best mood, communicating to Clay that like, it's not personal. So like, for example, in the morning, this was something we just learned upon moving in together this time around, which is insane after 6.5 years together. I was like, I actually don't want to talk to anyone for the first hour I'm awake. Like, we can be in the same room and we can give each other a hug and a kiss, or we can sit at the same table and have coffee or journal or stretch. But I'm like, I don't want to verbally speak because I need to give to myself before I can give to other people. And in the past, because I didn't communicate that preference to my morning, Clay would be really sweet in the morning and then I would come off kind of cold and he would be like, what am I doing wrong? And you weren't doing anything wrong. I just like was not good about saying like, I just want to not talk for a little bit. And like, we can still hug or we can still make breakfast for each other or a coffee, but like, let's keep the words to a minimum.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful because I think word for word, we had like a 30-minute conversation about it later in the evening of that. And I was like, I just don't understand. And you explained it in a way. And I was like, that's so helpful to me. And you're like, I thought that you knew that. And I was like, I don't know. You never used those words. Like, you never conveyed it to me in that way of how important that is. Like, from a coaching standpoint, you can tell somebody to do something doesn't work. So you have to have like 15 different ways in order to describe the same goal. And I was like, you just described it to me in a way that finally clicked and resonated. And like, I appreciated it. But I was like, I couldn't have understood that unless we had that hard, honest conversation with each other, you know?
I think that's a really good way to wrap up, is that like, just because you communicate your needs once to a person, like, we all have so much going on in our lives. Like, we have our own trauma. We're dealing with work stuff, friend stuff, whatever, I think it is unfair that just because we mentioned something one time that we assume that the other person is going to immediately understand it. Like, just because they hear it doesn't mean that they like actually grasped it and understand it, or then that they actually know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And if you have a boundary or if you have a need, it's also important to really explain like how the other person's response or involvement can like help facilitate that boundary or need for you. Because if you just tell someone like, well, I don't want to talk to you for an hour in the morning, like in this scenario, you're like, okay, but my need is that I want something from you in the morning. So then we were like, oh, well, how could we meet in the middle? Like, I'm like, no, we can still be in the same room. And you're like, okay, can we hug? And I'm like, yeah, we can hug. And you're like, okay, so we can hug and kiss, but no talking. And I'm like, yes. And like, from your perspective, you're like, I don't get how it's any different. But for me, I'm like, I just don't want to talk yet. Because I think that once you start talking, like you're just going to, it's not just going to be like, good morning. Like you're just going to start talking about the day. And I'm like, all of a sudden, like my Zen moment is gone. But like an oxytocin hug or like a little arm squeeze or a wink or putting my coffee in front of me, I'm like, that doesn't like disrupt that spiritual moment that I'm having with myself that allows me to be present with me and fulfill your needs of wanting some sort of love exchange in the morning.
Yeah, well, and you telling me that, I'm like, well, I get that. Obviously, I love you. And if that's what you need, then that's what I want to do. And having not been able to hear it that way, I then always thought like, oh my gosh, I just gave her a hug and I did this sweet thing and now she's not saying anything. So she's mad at me for some reason. But it was just because I didn't know or I didn't understand. And neither of us were wrong. It was just a lack of communication of the needs of the other person. And like we had to communicate those needs very efficiently and effectively and do it like multiple times, obviously, to finally get to the end result where we could then have these beautiful mornings together that match what both of us need for the morning.
Yeah. And all of this, like across all eight dimensions of wellness, across your past, my past, really at the end of the day, it has taken vulnerable, hard conversations again and again and rediscussing like the same topics over and over, not in this like annoying hashing way, but each time we talk about a particular topic, we go deeper or we have a new point of view or a new understanding that then we're like, ah, okay. And I think we're both good about giving each other examples. That's like, hey, when I'm doing this to you, I know you don't see it this way, but it feels like when this other thing that you're doing to me feels like. And then the other person's like, oh, because we have such different ways of doing stuff that something that bothers me would not bother Clay and something that bothers Clay wouldn't bother me. So we have to give each other like switched examples for the other person to really understand how the other person is experiencing that. And that has come through learning and knowing the other person better and better. And now at this point, I feel like we know so much about each other that I feel like we could go on some game show and score 100%. Like, I don't think that there's anything that, I mean, I'm sure because we always discover new stuff about each other all the time, but like, we know a lot about each other. I would venture to say more than some married couples that have been together for like 50 years. Like, we have gone to the depths of so many conversations, experiences, trauma points, childhood things for both of us so many times. And really, it was putting aside our egos and our insecurities in order to have those vulnerable conversations and not feel like by expressing our needs or expressing our hurt or our pain or something we went through that the other person wouldn't judge us or love us any less. And I think if anything, it's always made me love you more and have more compassion and more patience for you because I know more about you and I can like have that compassion for you knowing who you are and how that affects you and what you want.
Yeah, I think that we are both never there but constantly becoming the best versions of ourselves because of the hard conversations that we have and because of the depth that we're both willing to go. The motto that I have really like dug into is always healing, never healed. Like we're never fully at our ending journey on our healing process. We're always going through new evolutions of ourselves. And my advice on this wrap-up phase is to just convey that you have to start your own healing journey first in order to be able to have these deep conversations with your significant other. Like, you can only go as deep with your significant other as you've been willing to go with yourself. So in order to like start this journey that creates a very deep, very trusting, very profound, beautiful connection between you and your partner, it's only possible if you start that deep connection with yourself first. So that's what I experienced. And that's the only thing that's allowed me to have those conversations with you and through multiple again and again and again. And they're going to continue to happen. Hard, deep conversations. They started as they're never something that you want to have, you know. You know that they're necessary, but like the first time that we ever had one, it's like, oh, this is really hard. I'm really like uneasy in this conversation right now. I really don't want to have this conversation. But you come out on the other side and you feel better about it. You're like, I see the lesson that conversation taught me. And you can't see the lesson until after the conversation is done. And then the next deep conversation that you have, that uneasiness period is a little bit shorter. And then you see the lesson at the end. And then the next one, the uneasiness period is a little bit shorter. And it gets to the point where you don't have an uneasy period anymore because you know that there's a lesson that's at the end of it. And so you're not uneasy about the conversation. You're not necessarily excited, but you're willing to go into it with an open mind and not have any biases with it because you know that there's going to be a beautiful reckoning on the other side that's going to bring you and your partner even closer together. And that's like the most fun about it is you get to have a deeper understanding of your love. And I think that that's just a beautiful thing.
I agree. And I couldn't have wrapped up any better. Thank you for coming on this episode with me today. It really means a lot to me.
Yeah. For all the listeners, thanks for listening to our story. And I just want everybody to know that to you, Allison, I love you. And I'm very, very, very happy to be here in Tulum with you and to be building our life together.
Oh, thanks, babe. And I'm very, very happy that you're here too. That means a lot. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you next week on another episode of Already Friend. Bye.
Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.